ここ。In the Buddhistic tradition, we find that life is divided in four events according to its intensity. The first very important and intense event is dying. This is something so intense that it does not compare to anything else which we have experienced. The second is death. The third is rebirth. And then, after some distance, comes life itself. In the Western world, what is most important is life. What is not, what is forgotten is dying, death and rebirth. We don't think about it. We do not concern ourselves very much with it. But in spiritual traditions, it's all the way around. Life is important, but only when seen as a preparation for these other intense moments. Almost like, for instance, you don't really care about the preparations when you cook. All you want to really do is the final, want to see the final end of the preparation, the meal itself. In the same way, in the Eastern tradition, life is important, but it is seen as a preparation. And at that time of the preparation, the time of your dying and death and rebirth, it will be seen if your life was really a good preparation or if you have not taken up this challenge and not used your chance. It's very interesting to note that our Western civilization does not deal in a very mature way with death itself. There's an interesting investigation done in a hospital in New York. In this department of the hospital, there were terminally ill patients. Do you know what a terminally ill patient is? It's someone who's going to die within the next week or so. Yes? Terminally ill patient. Priyavata, what is a terminally ill patient in Swedish? It's sure he will die. He's yes? Yes. You cannot save him. No, I'm looking for someone who will necessarily die. Yeah. I think we have the idea. It's someone who only has 1 week or 1.5 week or just 1 day or even in some cases 2 or 3 hours. So they had these patients in different hospital rooms and they had numbered the rooms. In number one were the patients who had a long life expectancy. You know, long means 1.5 weeks. And in number five were those cases who were really only able to live for 3 hours more or even 20 minutes more. So all these patients had, like all patients have, some device where they can, at the bed, where they can make signals to the people who take care of them. If they need something, say one patient needs some pain relief, another patient may need some water, or another patient may need to speak to the doctor about something, or whatever. So it was investigated now how long the nurses would take in order to reach the dying patients. And an amazing phenomena was found out. Those patients in room number 5, that is the patients who lived for the longest time, to them the nurses came very fast. When the signal was bring, the nurses went like zoop. But to the patients which needed the nurses most, that is all those patients in the last room where the dying people were, the room number 5, it took them the longest time. There was someone sitting in the corridor and just measuring the time from when the signal came, bloom, to when the nurses arrived. He was there hidden so that no one could see him, see what he was doing. He said, I'm a relative to the people and I'm here sitting and waiting if I'm needed or not. So later, the nurses were confronted with this scientific result, testing result. They were said, why did you take so long to go to the people who needed you most? We immediately came. We did not wait for long. We immediately came. But then they were shown the writings on the list. And then an investigation was made why they took so long. The reason is because they were so deadly afraid to see death into its eyes. As I have said, the human being knows that he will die or knows about death, but he is not at all prepared to face death. Because all his time, really, he has tried to forget it. All his life, he has tried to not think about it. Because if we think that one day we will die, at that moment, all what we do is not very important any longer. In our scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, this illusion is taken violently from our eyes. The Bhagavatam faces us with the fact, you have to die and you better be prepared. The way the human being is described in the Bhagavatam is preparing him for death. It is described that each one of us is like someone whose death sentence is already made. Oh, Srinivas, you're dying a death. Yes. Are you feeling all right? Oh, I was thinking something is happening to you in this lecture. No. Just tired. See, when a person gets his death sentence, then sometimes it is said to him, my dear person, you have a few last wishes, and then you can wish, oh, I want to eat strawberries with cream, and I want to go to Tivoli, and I want to drive in a fast car 220 kilometers an hour. And he's given these last wishes. In the same way, all of us have their death sentence on it. Natasha, the date of your death is already sure. Surya, the date of your death is already sure. When you are born, that date is there. Tapas, the date of your death is already sure. And my dear guest, also you are no exception to the rule. Yes. Now, in the meantime, you have some desires. Oh, let me eat this. Let me enjoy these holidays. Let me complete this project as a computer programmer. But aren't these wishes ridiculous? What do you think about someone who is a death who has a death penalty over his head, and he, you know, in 2 hours you will be put on the electrical chair, and you will, the electric current will be put on, and then your eyes will jump out of their sockets and you will die. And then he said, and then he has this, my last desire was to eat lasagna. And then he eats the lasagna just 20 minutes before the death comes, and he said, so good, it's so good, it's top lasagna. You think, oh, this person has a reality problem. In the same way, a person who goes about blindly enjoying this material life in the face of death has a reality problem. Hari Bol. This is bad news for those who conveniently pull the veil of forgetfulness over their eyes so that they don't have to face the fact that when death comes, we will never look into his eyes again. Ooh. I'm sorry, I have to make it a little clear. This is a very important news. So, I would like to tell you a little bit what happens at the when you die and what happens at the moment of death, so that you are a little bit prepared. I want to also tell you what happens when you are reborn and what you perceive at that time. And after this, I would like to explain to you how you should prepare for your death. You should not just sit in the chair and be fearful until it comes, but there are means to prepare. So when the hour comes, you will die in great glory. As we all know, the body is composed of 5 material elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. In the process of dying, these elements which have formed your gross body will be attacked by Kala. Kala is the force of time. And when these elements are attacked, they will dissolve, and in the process of dissolution, you will see certain mental images. Something will go on in your mind. Let us now move bravely to the deathbed of a dying person and see how Kala attacks the element earth. The element earth becomes manifested in the material body as flesh and bones, and is responsible for the sense of smell. When a person is dying and the element earth is attacked, he will have a feeling of becoming very heavy. Why am I becoming so heavy? And at that moment, it will be very difficult for him to still smell something, because his sense of smell leaves him. The earth, which is a not just earth, but which is a principle of manifestation, will leave him, and as a result he feels so heavy and he can't smell any longer. Let us now study what will happen when time, the sister of death, attacks the water element. First of all, the water element is responsible for the plasma, and also the blood and other liquids within the body. At that time, and it is also responsible for the sense of taste. At this moment, when the element water gets attacked, the person has a feeling that he is drowning in the water. Sometimes a sound comes as if a drowning person is there, and it is very, very heavy to him. At this moment, he cannot smell any longer, not even a rose. Let us next study what happens when the element of fire gets attacked. The element of fire is responsible for the feeling of warmth in your body, and it is also responsible for the sense of sight, what I can see. I know it's a little technical, but it will soon come. The person who is dying will feel as if he is burning alive. Then, all of a sudden, all the warmth in his body is going out of the extremities of the hands and of the feet. And then again, a surge of heat comes. A dying person will tell you, I'm sweating, please remove the cover from my body. And then next moment he says, please, I'm freezing, please bring the cover back over my body. And this is the feelings he has. At this moment, he begins, his eyesight begins to fail him, and he can't see. When you come to a dying person on this stage, he cannot recognize you. Don't feel offended at that time. He just cannot see any longer. Finally, the air goes, becomes attacked, and he cannot touch anything any longer. And in his body, he has the feeling as if a storm is there. Then, the last element which gets attacked is ether itself, and as a result of this, he cannot hear any longer. Sometimes it does happen that a person is lying there in coma, and you think he can, because he's in coma, he cannot see you, and he cannot feel that you are there, but it is an illusion. He can still hear. Therefore, it is very important that you talk respectfully, knowing full well that he is here. Sometimes, when you came too late, it's a time to say goodbye. Go, now it's time for you to go. Don't be attached to your body, which is already dissolving. This is the scenario of what happens at the time of dying. Now when finally death enters, that moment everything becomes dark. Everything becomes dark. He cannot perceive anything, he cannot hear anything, he feels surrounded by darkness. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad describes what happens at that particular moment to the dying person. At that moment, he will see, at the end of a long tunnel, a light going on. And he will naturally follow this light, go through the tunnel. People who have been, who had a clinical death, that the body was clinically dead, have reported, and I will quote one Dr. B. Kirkwood, "It was as if I was racing through a dark tunnel towards a bright light. But then I heard a voice, 'It is not yet time. You have to return.' And I was coming back." Yes. Many such statements are there, which are quite interesting to note. Now, you will most probably want to know, what is this light? And what is this experience of passing through a tunnel? Well, the Vedas explain that just like our physical body has veins and arteries, our subtle body has nadis, energy channels, which are all centered on the heart. They are extending from the heart, going out of the body. At the time of death, the soul sees one of these 108 basic nadis full of light. So there is a light on the end of the tunnel, and naturally the soul feels drawn towards that light. Imagine, due to electric failure, there would be a total closure of the, all the light would go out, and we would feel rather uncomfortable. Srinivas would laugh nervously, most probably, after some time, and we would feel very uncomfortable. What is going on? And maybe Sachinandan Swami has some very good means now to shock us totally. He said we will never forget the evening. So, and we would feel irritated. If at that time, all of a sudden, some light would come somewhere, our most natural reaction would be to go towards that light. So at the time of your death, the super soul of Paramatma, Krishna, God, good within the heart, will put light on in a certain tunnel. It's your tunnel through which you are meant to leave the body. Then you will go with a tremendous speed, and you will leave the body. At that time, a person who looks into your eyes will see that the light leaves the eyes, and the eyes become opaque. Okay? Even if they are open, you cannot see any longer this particular light which you see, which is the light of the consciousness. The soul and the consciousness is left through a tunnel, the nadi, an energy channel, your particular body, and has moved on. Now this time, there are some parents who are feeling romantically inclined in some room, and they approach each other with sensual desires, and the soul, according to its karma, comes to this particular room. Very often, parents who have come together to procreate, to get a child, have felt at that moment the presence of someone in the room, especially women who will become the mothers soon, have often felt intuitively the presence of their child. I know one who saw her child in a subtle way and immediately felt, this is Emmanuel, and gave that name later to that child. I cannot tell you the name because sometimes my tapes are heard in Germany, and the woman wouldn't be very happy if I would tell her name. Because it's a little private, after all. But the soul waits until the moment comes where the sperm of the man leaves the body and enters the body of the woman. And then it will enter and go into the next body. After some time, the soul wakes up to consciousness. First of all, it's so traumatic to be imprisoned in this little womb of the mother. But then, after some time, he becomes aware and is anxious to get out. I will read to you now some of the prayers of the living entity just before birth. These were prayers which many of you have prayed. Not all of you, but those of you who are spiritually minded, who were pious souls, have prayed these prayers. And if you hear them, you can hear the sense of urgency, the sense of helplessness, the sense of deep desire. Please listen. The soul counts his months and then prays, O my Lord, when shall I, a wretched soul, be released from this confinement? My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness, although I am only 9 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. So he's very happy. Now I can feel, I can think, I can pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave me the chance. Then he describes that most of the living entities in this world are not able to act according to reason and spiritual knowledge. He said the animals only move according to their instincts. But I have a body in which I can control my senses and can understand my destination. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom I have been blessed with this human body, and by whose grace I can see Him within and without. Then he says, now I'm so Krishna consciousness, I'm so God conscious, I can see God. Therefore, I do not want to get out of the womb of my mother. I want to stay here. It is very good for my own Krishna consciousness, because now I'm fully aware. But what will happen if I get out? Then I will again forget Krishna. He remembers his past life. He remembers this heavy situation. He will think, oh no, then all the Maya will start again. I will again become attracted to Maya. I will be again in the false ego, Lajananya. I will be totally in Maya. Therefore, better I stay here. But then as he thinks a second time, he says, no, 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 no. I shall do something. And listen to this now. This is very important, because if you remember this in your life, this will be the last life. I shall deliver myself from the darkness of nescience, that means ignorance, with the help of my friend, clear consciousness. Simply by keeping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in my mind, I shall be saved from entering into the wombs of many mothers for repeated birth and death. So the soul, in other words, becomes very, very eager to practice Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada asked, it may be questioned herein how the child can be fully Krishna conscious within the womb of the mother without any paraphernalia with which to execute Krishna consciousness. The soul has no books there. It has no bibek to chant Hare Krishna. It has no arati plates or no deities. How can it be so Krishna conscious? There are no devotees. It's not that all of a sudden Priyavrata comes in the womb of the mother and gives a lecture there. You know, there's no external paraphernalia. How can it be so enlightened without all this help? And Prabhupada says, it is not necessary to arrange for paraphernalia to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. One does not need any material arrangement to cultivate Krishna consciousness. One can cultivate Krishna consciousness anywhere and everywhere, provided he can always think of Krishna. That is all you need. You need your mind, this little thing between your ears. You need him to cooperate, or in your heart, he's in the heart really. You need him, your mind, to cooperate with you. Then you can be Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is very simple. Devotee means the mind. Hari Bol. Think of Krishna, remember Krishna, like the embryo in the womb did, and you are fully Krishna conscious. You do not need much more. Yes. But then something happens. Then, so the living entity has these desires. in the womb. But while he thus extols the Lord, means praises the Lord, the wind that helps parturation, that is birth, propels him forth with his face turned downward so that he may be born. Pushed downward. You know, the Ayurveda says it's not really the muscular contractions. That's there, the vihan. Vihan means when it comes, the muscular contractions. Vihan, what is the word? Huh? Yes, sounds correct. But this is really instigated by some prana, pranic movements, and it moves, and all of a sudden it comes, and then he has to go through the small entrance, and it opens, and he finds himself in a world where he's totally helpless. He can't breathe. They have to take him quickly and go like bang, and then, oh, thank you. And then it starts, and then he loses by the shock his superior knowledge and cries under the spell of Maya, Rabbe, Rabbe, Yasam Krappen. No, Yasam means Hungarian or whatever it is. I'm the body, you know, and is, has forgotten his spiritual identity, you know. He is unable to refuse whatever is given to him and falls into undesirable circumstances. He may cry and is so thirsty, but his mother thinks he needs cookies and gives the ow, 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 milk. Yeah, but he can't say it, so he gets more cookies. Then he is, you know, he's taught to walk and talk to talk and talk to go to school and so on and so forth. He gets under all these material desires, gets totally covered with the false identity, and another life is lost. Makes you feel so sad. This is how the Bhagavatam describes. Now, but don't fear, this lecture will have get a very hopeful twist after some time. This was so then the living entity, if he is serious and again begins to become a little introspective, Krishna, who has not forgotten the prayers, makes an arrangement for the soul to meet devotees of the Lord, or he will see a transcendental book like Bhagavad Gita, or he must may enter in a church and have some moving mystical experience there, and then by Krishna's arrangement he gains what is so important in spiritual life, some faith in spiritual life, and he begins the process of spiritual life. Now, let me come to the close of my little presentation, because I feel it would be very interesting to discuss some of the questions which I could not deal with at this particular moment. There are many, many things which I have not been able to talk about. I just wanted to give you the essence. If you would like, in some future time, we could arrange a 1 day and 1.5 day seminar here in the Stockholm Hare Krishna Center, and we could deal with this in depth. We would see many videos, and we would have many workshops, and really go into the subject matter. But here I just want to give you the essence. I want to first ask you for your cooperation. when you saw the slideshow, what were some of the feelings which you had?
Fear.
Fear. Strach. Fear. Someone had also this feeling? Fear? Yeah.